In a logo, white stars form an arch above a snow-covered mountain. Words appear, Paramount, a Gulf and Western company. The mountain turns into a simple graphic. Paramount Pictures presents a Polygram Pictures production, an Adrian Lin film. The title appears as red letters scrolling across the screen. Flashdance. On a city street, a silhouetted woman with curly hair stops her bicycle beside a kitten. Reaching down, she pets it. Jennifer Beals. Pushing off with her foot, she circles the kitten, then rides down a hill toward buildings amongst an early morning haze. Michael Nouri. The cyclist turns a corner and pedals down the wet pavement past houses. A view of the back of her bike shows a hard hat attached to it. A woman in a nurse's uniform watches her pass as the curly-haired woman pedals toward an intersection. The rising sun glistens off the waters of the Monongahela River, which cuts through Pittsburgh. Belinda Bauer. Still in silhouette, the curly-haired woman rides her bike along a path bordering a bridge. Lilia Scala. Choreographed by Jeffrey Hornaday. Early morning commuters and city buses pass beneath the hazy pink sky. Original music by Giorgio Moroder. Arranged and conducted by Sylvester LeVay. Music supervised by Phil Ramone. As our view pulls away from the arched bridge, we view skyscrapers on the river's opposite bank. Film editors Bud Smith, Walt Mulconery. Now, the scoop of a loader reveals the construction vehicle operating in a steel mill. Production designed by Charles Rosen. Sparks fly as a person in coveralls and a protective mask uses a welding torch. Director of photography, Don Peterman. The welder's helmet reads, Alex. Executive producers, Peter Guber and John Peters. Screenplay by Tom Headley and Joe Esterhaus. Story by Tom Headley.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you the Cowboys in three.
3.5.
Take 3, be happy.
3.5, I'm ecstatic.
The loader lifts a scoop of muddy earth. Two employees wearing hard hats walk through a wet tunnel beneath a red work light. Elsewhere, a worker uses a jackhammer. Produced by Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. Work lights illuminate steam wafting through the space. Alex continues to weld, holding their mask's visor down with their gloved hand. A man hammers at something as sparks rain down from above. In the glow of red work lights, men weld inside corrugated tubes. The welder removes the protective mask, revealing Alex as the curly-haired woman. Sweat glistens on her face.
Hey, is this considered a one-time shot, or you better surprise me all the time?
I told you that, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Come on, I'll buy you a beer.
Directed by Adrian Lin. Now, a neon sign above an entrance reads, Mobby's Bar. A balding man holds the door to the bar open for a taller man as they enter. Inside, the two men push through a crowd to a table. A blonde waitress busses beer cans and empties an ashtray from it. Sitting together on the same side of the table, the men smile at her as she walks away. Stepping onto a backlit stage, a silhouetted dancer wearing a jacket and pants kicks her leg high. She walks backward with tight steps. Jumping up, she lands on her knees and raises her arms. The men watch as she performs choreographed moves with her back to the audience and her hands in the air. She spins and rolls her shoulders. The silhouette accentuates her sculpted jacket. She turns on her high heels. The dancer pushes a clothing rack with her jacket and pants attached to it off the stage and struts in a short dress. She points at a chair, then sits in it, arching her back. A close view shows Alex as the dancer on stage. The balding man notices the tall man's enamored expression. Alex sits in the chair, slides off, and gets to her feet. She spins and throws her arms in the air repeatedly. Alex jumps, then briefly touches the floor. A portly man wearing an apron sits with two patrons. Seated on the stage, Alex tucks her knees into her chest, then lies back and rolls onto her knees. She removes her short dress, revealing a red teddy underneath. Casting the dress aside, she sits in the chair and removes an armband. Leaning back, she pulls a chain above her, and water pours down, dousing her entire body and the stage. She bends forward, then flips her hair back, splashing the portly man and patrons with water. On her knees, Alex pounds the chair's seat, then steps up onto it. She drops down and struts to the edge of the stage and spins. The balding man and his tall companion leer at Alex as she dances.
If I come up with a scoop on her, I get Dallas in 3.5.
If you come up with anything on her, I'll give you 6.
Alex jogs in place, then turns to the side and points with both fingers and bobs her head. Turning around several times, she raises her arms over her head, then struts to the edge of the stage again. She spins and water droplets fly from her curly hair. A low view pans across the fixated gazes of the men in the front row of the audience. Alex briefly drops into a crouch, then jogs in place. Beaming, she extends her arms and gestures as though beckoning someone toward her. The tall man continues ogling her.
Number 174, 63, 1503.
Pete, I don't want her zip code.
It's your social security number, asshole. She works for you.
With a stunned expression, the tall man does a double take at Pete, who nods with a smug grin. They both turn their infatuated gazes back to Alex. In the bar's kitchen, a short man in a fedora puts cheese on a grilling burger patty. He flips another cheeseless patty, then places a basket of fries in the serving window and rings a bell.
I have one cheese medium, fries, 2 plain rare tomato and onions, 1 pastrami on Kaiser, mayo, no mustard.
What's a pimple on a Pollock's ass?
I need a BLT on rye, Richie.
A brain tumor.
The blonde waitress looks unamused.
Richie.
What's this?
He sticks out his tongue.
Come on, Richie.
A lesbian with a hard-on. I'm terrific, right? How you can tell me, huh? I can take it, I'm terrific, right?
Mayo, no mustard.
Can't you see me opening up in L.A., Jeannie? Here he is, direct from Pittsburgh. It's Richie Blazek, ladies and gentlemen.
L.A.? What's all this talk about L.A.? You've been on the stage 2 times. I give you 2 lousy shots, and already you're talking about going to L.A.? Come on, what are you, crazy? Besides, you're too short anyway. They don't let short people into Hollywood. And you're making the hamburgers too big again. Make them smaller, huh?
The portly man slaps Richie's arm and leaves.
Hey, small, I'll give you a small. This place is so small you have to go outside to change your mind.
Smirking, Jeannie takes the order in the serving window and walks away. In a dressing room.
Watch.
A short-haired woman hits a phone.
Green, damn you, I can't believe it. He didn't call.
He'll call. Do you really think so?
Of course, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, of course, why wouldn't he? Oh, maybe he'll call, I don't know.
I don't know, the last time I talked to him, he seemed real funny, like, I'll call you later, babe.
I really don't think he's gonna call.
Don't worry, he'll call.
You really think so?
Of course, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, you're right, he'll call. But if he doesn't call, do you think I should call him?
Tina, he'll call.
Angela, I just love how you're always trying to straighten out other people's lives.
Well, anytime you want me to straighten out yours, just let me know.
Well, personally, I never call because I don't have to. But if you want my advice...
Not really.
The aging dancer looks offended.
Hi, girls.
Hi, Richie.
Can I help you with anything? A foot massage?
Richie leaves. At the steel mill, Alex wears headphones and flips through a magazine. The tall man approaches her. She doesn't notice him, and he bends forward.
Hi.
Alex continues flipping through her magazine, and he kneels.
Do you read lips?
What?
I saw you dance last night.
She removes her headphones.
I just wanted to say hi.
Hi.
You're Alex.
I know.
I'm Nick Hurley.
They shake hands.
Really?
Alex smiles.
I've seen your name on my paychecks.
So what's a dancer doing working as a welder?
Girl's gotta make a living.
He looks at her magazine cover.
You speak French?
No, I just like the pictures.
Me too.
Hey, Nick. I need you on 10.
You read Vogue?
I used to. I mean, my wife does. I mean, my ex-wife. I'm divorced. We're divorced.
Oh, sorry. Listen, I gotta get to work.
She smiles.
You never know when the boss is gonna be around.
He grins, and they stand. Nick picks up her welding mask and hands it to her. A wrench falls out of her tool belt, and he picks it up along with her thermos.
I forgot your thermos.
Turning back, Alex takes it and smiles at him. Watching her walk away, Nick smiles back, then flips his hard hat in the air and catches it. Later, Alex rides her bicycle down an alley in an industrial area. She dismounts and reaches into her pocket. She opens a door to find a pit bull staring at her with its tongue hanging out. Alex smiles.
Hi, Grant.
She rolls her bicycle into a high-ceilinged warehouse. She and Grunt walk to a living area.
So, did you get laid today?
Later, a news report plays on TV. Wearing a baggy t-shirt, which hangs off her shoulder, Alex dries her hair.
And now, news headlines with Kevin Evans.
Good evening. In the news, a general alarm fire caused extensive damage to the Highview Lumber Company, a United Dairy store, and an American Motors dealership in McDonald, Washington County this morning.
Rubbing Grunt, who lies beside her on the couch, Alex picks up a remote control and changes channels. She sips a diet soda and sets down the remote. Alex straightens her back as she watches a group of ballet dancers on TV. With the soda still in hand, she stands and extends one arm out to her side. She bends the arm holding the soda close to her chest and spins, spilling the drink on herself. Grabbing the towel she used to dry her hair, she dabs at the liquid on her shirt, but keeps her gaze fixed on the TV. The dancers wear flesh-colored, full-body unitards. A roving view passes books on a shelf. One of them is titled Your Isadora by Francis Stiegmüller. Another is titled Basic Principles of Classical Ballet. Our view pans across a photo of Darby Crash, a magazine article in French, and black and white pictures of dancers. Now, Alex wraps medical tape around her bare foot and flexes her toes. Close views show the black leg warmer on her foot and sweat glistening off her hips as she spins in place. Jogging in place, Alex takes deep breaths. Her hair is damp with sweat. She changes up jogging in place and starts gyrating her hips as she turns. Crouched in a deep lunge, Alex stretches. Grunt watches her. Sweat droplets fly from her hair as she shakes her head and jogs in place. Running her hands over her fit thighs, Alex turns repeatedly. She whips her damp hair back and forth. An extreme close-up shows her firm backside. Now, lying on the floor, Alex arches her back, then drops into a seated position and stretches. She grabs her ankles and leans forward, then extends her legs out to either side and bends toward her toes. Spinning in place, Alex grips a freestanding ballet bar and leans forward, extending her leg behind her. She briefly bends backward over the bar. Now, Alex whips her hair around and spins in place, sweat glistening off her skin. Later, Alex breathes heavily and gulps a glass of water. A towel hangs over her shoulder. Nearby, Grunt wears a towel tied around his neck and yawns. Alex continues gulping down water. In the city, Alex rides her bike up onto a sidewalk. She stops outside the Pittsburgh Dance and Repertory Company and dismounts. Alex puts down the kickstand on her bike and locks it. Removing her olive green trapper hat, she faces the building and gazes up its brick facade. Alex goes up the steps and through the building's revolving door. In a marble corridor, men and women in ballet attire stretch and practice their moves. Alex keeps her hands stuffed in the pockets of her oversized coat and approaches one of the dancers.
Excuse me. Do you know where the admissions office is?
The door on the left.
Alex passes a male dancer.
Where's Jason? Come on. Where's the focus?
Where is
it? Where's the center? Look up. What are you looking for?
Alex enters an office where a line of dancers waits along the wall.
When you fill out...
The dancers look over at her and regard her shabby jeans, boots, and coat. Alex lowers her eyes and takes a position at the back of the line. The receptionist addresses a young woman.
When you fill out this application, be sure and list all your years of dance education, starting with the most recent place you studied and the number of years at each institution. Also, if you have any professional...
Alex glances down at her dirty work boots and the pink toe shoes of the applicant beside her. Our view roves along the sneakers of another young woman and the dance heels of the person beside her. Alex looks down the line of applicants and spots one young woman whispering to another. Alex regards the other young women, all wearing ballet attire, with a self-conscious expression. The prim-looking administrator hands a young woman an application. Alex twists her curly hair around her finger.
When you fill out this application, be sure to list all your years of dance education.
Alex leaves. She jogs between the dancers lining the marble corridor, nearly knocking into the male dancer's arm as she goes. He and another dancer exchange a look. In the building's atrium, Alex hurries along a mezzanine lined with statues and marble columns. She runs through the lobby, past display cases holding various art pieces. Now, Alex rides away from the repertory company. Her work helmet sits attached to the back of her bike. At the steel mill, Alex walks with two co-workers.
I got the belly back.
Hey, see you, Alex. Don't get dirty.
She enters a dark industrial building, carrying a hose wrapped over her shoulder. Stepping onto an elevator, she starts to pull down the door, hitting Nick in the head. He winces as he stops the door with his hand, then boards the elevator and shuts the door. Nick rubs his head and leans against the wall opposite Alex. She tries to avoid eye contact.
Hello, dancer.
Hi.
Want a hand?
No, thanks.
She averts her eyes, and he regards a clipboard in his hand. Noticing her trying to avoid him, Nick locks his gaze on her again. The elevator slowly ascends to another level. Now, Nick follows Alex through a machine room.
You know, I have this close personal relationship with the lady who drives the lunch truck, and I think I can get her to make us anything we want, as long as it's on the menu.
I'm not having lunch today.
How about dinner?
I can't. I don't have dinner with a boss. Thanks anyway.
He enters an office.
No lunch, no dinner, but a snack. Milk and cookies?
In a residential area, two boys run past Alex on her bike. She stops outside a brick, two-story home and dismounts. Alex leans her bike against the metal fence surrounding the property. She passes through the open gate and goes to the front door. In a living room, Alex sits holding an outfit in her lap.
I love this dress. It's exactly like the picture I showed you.
She kisses an old woman's cheek.
Thanks so much for making it.
Now, more important, did you go to the repertory?
I meant to. I was going to go yesterday, but I didn't have time.
You must make the time, child.
I know. Remember the first time you took me to see them dance? I have dreams about it.
Dreaming is wonderful, but it won't get you closer to what you want.
But I put enough money away so that they do take me, I could support myself.
But, child, they won't take you unless you apply and audition.
I know, but sometimes...
Alexandra, you are 18 years old. Do it now. Do it.
Okay.
You are a good girl.
They hug. A descending view passes an ornate stained glass window in a church. Alex enters the dark space and walks up the center aisle. She passes two women kneeling in the pews, their hands clasped in prayer. Alex enters a confessional booth and kneels. The partition window slides open.
May the Lord be in your heart and in your mind that you may properly confess your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession. I'm doing okay, sort of. I've been thinking about sex a lot. But you can't help thinking about sex, right? Well, you probably can. Help, I mean.
The priest smiles and nods.
Also, I told a lie. I had to. Well, I didn't have to, but all I wanted to do was to make her happy. You see, Hannah was the one who wanted me to get the application, and I couldn't tell her that I just didn't have the courage enough to go through with it. If you had seen all those dancers, all those people, God, there's no way I belong there. I don't know, it's just that I want to make something out of my life. I want to do so much, and sometimes I think that it's just not going to happen.
Outside a strip club, a slovenly man stands beside a man with spiky hair.
Six beautiful girls, all new!
Hi, baby, how you doing?
$5, right this way, $5 right here, all nude, all the time. All nude, all the time, that's right.
Cecil, look at you. Just buy some threads, I'm running a class act here. You look like a one-man slum.
All nude, all the time, right here, live, beautiful girls, six beautiful girls right here, live, $5, right this way.
Cecil regards his worn leather jacket, T-shirt, and jeans. A sign above the entrance reads, Zanzibar.
Straighten yourself up, Cecil. Drag some customers in.
In a laundromat, Alex takes clothes from a dryer and drops them in a basket. She places her clothes on a counter beside Jeannie. Alex spots something and pulls a pair of men's boxers from Jeannie's basket.
Well, 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 what are these?
Oh, they're very cute. They're very, very cute.
Alex, come on, give them back. They're Richie's. My dad's breathing down my neck and bottom. Says Richie's no good. Not if he ain't asked me to marry him by now, he ain't gonna. I'm kidding.
Outside Zanzibar, the man with spiky hair sits on a car's hood. He spots Alex and Jeannie nearby.
It didn't take very long to learn how to dance that way.
About 25 years.
Alex hugs her friend.
You teach me how?
Yeah. You teach me how to skate.
Yeah.
Pulling a toothpick from his mouth, the man with spiky hair stands.
Good evening, ladies.
Jeannie sneers.
Look at that. $21,321. All leather, push button. Want to go for a ride?
Ugh.
Hey, Jeannie, you still forking that cook? Listen, come see my club. I just put this new PA system in and the floor, Christ, it's all lit up right where you're going to dance. I just want you to see what you're going to call home.
Did you know that the smallest penis ever measured was 1.1 inches?
You are some pair of cunts, you know that?
Jeannie and Alex drive away. Now, Alex enters a hallway with Tina and another dancer.
I can't believe I'm working out with this hangover. Oh, wait. I have lost my keys.
Shit. A man pinches Tina's butt.
Come on, let's go work out.
In a gym, Tina lies on her side and does scissor lifts. Alex sits with her legs crossed and does bicep curls with free weights. Another dancer lifts the handles of a weight machine. Lying on her stomach, Jeannie does leg curls on a weight machine. The four women grimace as they exercise, sweat beating off their faces and bodies. Tina shakes her head despondently.
He didn't call. He'll call. Oh, I don't think so, Alex. He'll call, Tina. I don't know.
Just call the man. Just say, hey, baby, what's happening? The way you're going on with this thing, your whole fucking life's gonna be over before you make up your mind. Just get up and call the dude.
Yeah? You really think so?
God, I'm glad I ain't no honky.
Alex laughs as Tina strains to do leg curls. Trying to lift dumbbells, Tina falls backward. Sweat covering her skin, Alex grins widely. In the city, Alex and Jeannie walk together. They spot a boy in a hat breakdancing up ahead. His hat reads, "Rock Steady." A man in a leather jacket pops and locks into view. The boy poses like a limp doll, and the man repositions him. Alex and Jeannie stop to watch the pair. The man winds an invisible key on the boy's back. Later, the man holds an umbrella and performs an extended moonwalk, gliding forward and back. He spins the umbrella and closes it. Now, a third dancer does windmills and spins on the ground. A fourth dancer does power moves and freezes. He spins again and poses in a lunge. Time jumps ahead, revealing a growing crowd watching the breakdancers with Alex and Jeannie. A dancer with an afro hops up and lands on his back. He pushes off with his hands and bounces back with his feet, then does windmills and spins. At a busy intersection, a cop directs traffic. Jeannie and Alex skip in front of him as they cross the street, and he mimics playing a violin. They finish crossing, and the officer continues directing traffic. As he waves his white-gloved hands, he kicks his leg out behind him. Alex joins him in the street and imitates his hand movements. He gives her a look, and she throws her hands up. Alex and the cop salute a passing police cruiser. They shake hands and play air violins as the cop shoos Alex away. As she teases him, the cop reaches for his holster and pretends to shoot her with his finger. At a dining table, Jeannie voraciously eats corn on the cob. A balding man reaches for a piece of bread, but Alex grabs it. The man stares as she spreads butter on the bread. An older woman sits across from Alex.
You girls eat like pigs. What happened to the diet?
I didn't eat anything yesterday.
We're going to go over to the rink and work it off.
Is she going to be there? Now there's a real winner.
No, we're going to work.
You think she'll be on the ice show?
What's wrong with that? Make a lot of money.
You're costing me a lot of money.
I'd just like to try it again, Danny.
You know, she's really good. You ought to see her.
Yeah. She's going to fall on her ass.
She's got a tough ass.
Not her ass I'm worried about.
Jeannie's mother glares at her husband as he starts to read a newspaper at an ice skating rink.
Jean, where are you? Wait, come here.
Alex awkwardly skates. Jeannie does a double axel. Skating near Alex, she does the jump spin again.
No, don't.
Jeannie whizzes past her. Jeannie circles Alex.
No, go do your turn. Go do your turn.
Jeannie spins on one leg and pulls the other inward, increasing the speed of her turn, then stops. At Mobby's, Richie reads note cards as he rehearses.
Hi, I'm Richie Blazek. Did you hear the one about the pull-out bank robber? Tied up the safe, blew the guard. Tied up the safe, blew the guard. Tied up the safe, and blew the guard. Tied up the safe.
Hey, kid, come here. Come here!
He approaches the portly man.
What's the matter?
Nervous, chick.
Oh.
Jake slugs Richie in the stomach.
Now you ain't nervous anymore. Now you're pissed off.
Richie goes to the hall, and Jeannie kisses him.
Good luck, baby.
She sidles away. Bracing himself on the wall, Richie ascends steps. On stage, a woman in a leopard-patterned teddy dances. She completes her routine and throws her arms above her head and bows. As she sashays off the stage, Richie steps into view, eyeing his note cards. He fumbles to part the red velvet curtain and steps out to face the audience. Richie takes a mic from its stand.
Hi. How you doing? I'm Richie Blazek.
Alex and two other dancers clap for him. A mustached man and a frizzy-haired man sit in the audience.
You're about the Pollock bank robber. He tied up the safe and blew the guard. So the lady says to the waiter, "Excuse me, sir, do you have frog's legs?" And the waiter says, "No, that's just the way I walk."
A dancer wearing a necklace bearing her name, Heels, chuckles awkwardly. Jeannie notices no one in the audience is laughing.
You want to talk about boogers? I know a lot about them. How about boogers? In sports for 50? What's a pimple on a Pollock's ass? A brain tumor.
The spiky-haired man heckles Richie.
Hey, take a walk. Bring on the bimbos.
Hey, come on, guys. Could you give me a break? Look, I'm just a cook. Okay, I'm just a cook, all right? And this is my big chance, so if you screw it up for me, I'm going to put cockroaches in your hamburgers. You got it?
Taking a bite of a burger, Jake nearly spits out his food.
Well, miracles do happen, I guess. You know, I guess it took the Steelers 40 years to win a championship, didn't it?
The frizzy-haired man pumps his fists and applauds.
I tell you, you know, I feel like Franco Harris when he made the Immaculate Reception. It was amazing. Hey, did you hear about the Pollock who locked his keys in the car and he had to use a coat hanger to get his family out? Did you hear about the Pollock who died drinking milk? The cow fell on him. There was a Polish terrorist. You know, they sent him to blow up a car and he burned his lips on the exhaust pipe.
Laughing, Jake addresses a customer and gestures toward Richie. Jeannie discreetly picks up a patron's beer from her tray and takes a sip.
You know, you guys have been real nice. And I gotta go cook the hamburgers. No roaches, I promise. So let me bring out our next act. Direct from Mobbies, it's Tina Tech, ladies and gentlemen!
Richie puts the mic back on its stand and leaves the stage. Standing in front of a black brick wall, Tina whips off an umpire's mask.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Covered in body glitter and wearing a black bikini, she does a bridge kickover. Tina kicks her leg high and braces against the wall.
I'm going on a manhunt, turning.
She extends her arms out at her sides as she spins in place. Hopping repeatedly, Tina runs her hands through her short hair as she turns. The live dancer faces the wall and punches at it. Jumping against the brick facade, she does a backflip, then goes to the edge of the stage. Undulating her hips seductively, she wraps her arms around her chest and spins. Then pops her shoulders from side to side. Tina bends her arms, bringing her hands in front of her face, and backs away from the edge of the stage. She crouches low as she continues gyrating her shoulders to the sides. Kicking up her heels, she spins manically around the stage. She kneels and briefly locks eyes with a patron, then does a cartwheel toward the edge of the stage. Tina backflips into a split, then extends her legs out at her sides and crawls forward. We all got the need, the one who's been waiting. Reaching the edge of the runway, she pushes herself up into a standing position. Tina whips her head back and forth and spins toward the back of the stage. Reaching the brick wall, she grits her teeth and slumps to the floor. A red light bulb above her swings wildly, and the spotlight shuts off. In the audience, Alex walks past Cecil and his spiky-haired associate. The spiky-haired man puts his arm around her and squeezes her butt.
Alex, sit down here, will you? Cecil, this is a nice ass. Soft. Round. Snug. Hey, she looks.
Alex pours beer in his lap.
Hey! Limbo! Cold!
She walks away, and Cecil wipes at his associate's lap.
Fuck off!
Seated nearby, Nick grins.
Hey.
He sips a beer. In the parking lot, the spiky-haired man sits in his car, tapping his fingers on the steering wheel impatiently. In the bar, Alex walks with Richie. They pass Jake, who leafs through a newspaper.
Night, kids.
Night.
Night, Jake.
Hey, Richie, no more jokes about cockroaches, huh?
Seated behind the wheel, the spiky-haired man chews on a toothpick. Our view moves from him to the back window. Through it, we spy Alex and Richie walking together in the direction of the spiky-haired man's car. He gets out and approaches them.
You know, one of these days, I want to be like, you know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin. Until that day,
you'll just keep stealing all the material.
Cecil and the spiky-haired man block their path.
Hey, Alex.
Come on, let me go.
Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing to fight about.
Get your fucking hands off me.
I'm going to go to Cecil's.
Hey, come on.
Let me go, goddammit.
Drink a little wine, get a little weed. You and me. How about Cecil?
Fucker.
You like Cecil?
Get off of me!
All three of us, real friendly.
Hey, why don't you leave her the fuck alone, huh?
Comedian's going to be a hero.
Cecil punches Richie in the nose, knocking him to the ground.
Yes.
Cecil, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Nick gets out of his car.
Let her go, John.
The spiky-haired man keeps his grip on Alex.
Hey, what are you doing here, Nick? Slumming? This ain't your neighborhood no more.
Nick fixes John with a hard glare, and the spiky-haired man shoves Alex away.
Nah. I didn't mean nothing. I just got pissed off.
John pats Richie's back.
Send me a bill, kid.
Let me see. Is it bleeding? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Here, come on.
Alex helps Richie up and grabs his hat.
Here's your hand.
She puts it on his head.
You okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's gonna look good on stage. It's gonna be fine.
You sure?
His nose bleeding, Richie walks to his car.
You sure you're gonna be okay?
Yeah, fine.
He waves to Alex and gets in. She approaches the space between Nick's car and another vehicle.
Listen, what can I say? Thanks a lot.
I give you a lift home.
She grins.
It's okay, I've got a ride.
Alex mounts her bike.
Thanks anyway.
As she rides off, Nick shakes his head, then gets in his car. Now, a view through Nick's windshield shows Alex riding her bike up ahead. His windshield wipers swish back and forth. Alex glances over her shoulder at his vehicle. She rounds a corner, and he continues tailing her. She glances back once more, and a smile grows on her face. In the alley outside the warehouse, Grunt approaches Nick's car. Alex talks to him through the passenger window.
What's his name?
Grunt.
Grunt?
Yeah.
Grunt puts his paws on the passenger door.
You can see I don't have to worry about you. What was he before he became a dog?
Well, he gets upset when people he doesn't know follow me home. Come on, Grunt. This is the man that feeds you.
Tell you what.
Nick gets out, but lingers by the door.
Tell him I'll bring him a doggy bag if you have dinner with him.
Nick, I told you I don't think it's a good idea to go out with the boss.
Nick gives a resigned nod.
Okay. Have it your way. You're fired. I'll pick you up tomorrow at 8.
Alex grins. Nick gets back in his car and drives off. Alex wheels her bike inside the warehouse. At the ice rink, a low view shows a skater spinning slowly on one leg under a spotlight. Our view pulls back, showing the skater bent forward with the other leg extended out behind her. Jeannie's parents watch.
How long does this thing last?
Her father winces. He rubs his nose.
It's cold in here.
Alex sits between Nick and Richie.
How's the nose?
It's broke.
Broke mine 3 times.
That was big in the 50s, wasn't it? Busting noses?
Richie looks amused with himself.
60s.
Alex flashes a smile at Nick. But as he looks her way, she turns her focus to Richie. They all watch as the skater does a double axel. Alex approaches Jeannie at the barrier wall and takes her hand. The friends share a smile as the skater finishes her routine. With her arms extended out at her sides, the skater spins. She waves her arms over her head and glides into a kneeling position. Coming to a stop, she points her foot outward and places her arms in a graceful fashion out from her body. Judges seated at tables confer with each other. Jeannie's father gestures.
Think she can beat her?
You're gonna do great.
Alex hugs Jeannie and walks away. Wearing a black leotard and fishnets, the blonde takes the ice. She glides to a stop and poses with a bent knee and her hands crossed in front of her chest. Bending her arms at her sides, she spins, then jumps and turns on one leg. She turns on one leg and touches the ice briefly with her hand. Richie and Alex cheer. Jeannie skates around the ice. She executes a spinning jump. In a lively dance, she kicks one foot out as she continues her routine.
Oh, look at her.
Her father looks impressed. His wife watches with rapt attention beside him.
There you were 20 years ago, sweetheart.
His grin fades and he wipes his nose. Richie and Alex beam proudly as they continue to watch Jeannie. The blonde briefly lowers to one knee, then does cross cuts as she skates. She tries to do another spinning jump, but falls. As she gets to her feet, her parents look anxious. Arching her back, Jeannie spins and grabs the blade of her skate behind her. She twirls to a stop, then dances and gestures with her arms. Skating backward, she does more cross cuts. Jeannie launches into a jump and falls again. She remains seated on the ice. Jeannie bows her head, keeping one arm tucked near her waist. Alex wears a concerned expression. Jeannie's father rubs his brow. A man walks onto the ice and helps Jeannie to her feet. The man holds her hand as he guides her off the ice. In a hallway, Alex sits beside Jeannie on a bench. The skater wears a somber expression.
It's gonna be okay.
All that time and practice, a waste. It's a goddamn waste
of
time.
Come on, it was not. Wasn't.
Jeannie's father shoves Richie out of his way.
You went out there, didn't you?
He approaches his daughter.
At least you had the guts to try.
He sits.
Now you know it's worked.
Jeannie's father crosses his legs and takes off his glasses, wiping them with a tissue. Alex sits with her arm looped through Jeannie's.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
I love you more than I've ever loved anything in my whole life. Oh, what the hell? You bounce pretty good.
Standing together in the doorway, Jeannie's mother and Richie smile. Jeannie hugs her father. Outside, neon signs in the building's windows read, Iceland. Alex and Nick approach his car.
She practiced for 2 years.
She'll do better next time.
There won't be any next time.
Nick opens the passenger door for her, and Alex gets in. He shuts the door, and she unlocks the driver's side door as he rounds the car. Nick gets in.
Thank you. What do you feel like? Fish? Chicken? Steak? I know this terrific little...
Pizza.
Pizza.
At the warehouse, carrying a pizza, Nick follows Alex upstairs to her living area.
Jesus. You live here? You really live here?
Yeah. It used to be a warehouse before I moved in.
She walks off.
It's different. Very different.
A whole lot different than where I'm from.
Where is that?
He crosses to the TV.
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona? I was thinking more along the lines of Jupiter.
Nick sets the pizza on the coffee table and sits. Alex emerges from a doorway wearing an oversized sweatshirt and a black leather skirt. She pushes up the sleeves of her sweatshirt.
Actually, they're very close. It's just the next lifeless planet over.
She hikes her skirt up and sits.
Really, it was pretty boring. Except for maybe music.
They have music in Altoona?
Well, my father, he loves music.
She reaches in her shirt.
This one time, he took us all to the symphony, my whole family. It was supposed to be this really big deal. At first, I didn't like it very much. I mean, there's nothing really to do with your feet, and there's nothing really to look at.
She removes her bra from her sleeve.
It's boring. And I was ready to nod out or something.
Nick looks intrigued.
He said to me, if you close your eyes, you can see the music.
Alex smiles.
You can, too.
She tilts her head at him.
Did you ever try? See the music. Come on, try. Close your eyes.
Resting her chin in her hand, Alex watches Nick expectantly. He sits with his eyes closed.
Well?
Well,
He opens his eyes.
Had a great time. It was a terrific evening.
Nick stands and her smile fades.
Don't you want some pizza?
She rises to her feet and pulls down her skirt. Their faces mere inches apart. Alex moves her lips toward his. She hesitates, then kisses him lightly on the lips. He kisses her back, and she wraps her arms around his neck. As they kiss more passionately, our view fades to black. In the morning, Grunt sits beside the bed, panting at Nick, who sleeps. Stirring, Nick scoots to the empty space beside him. He startles as he wakes and spots the pit bull. At the steel mill, a worker carries pieces of rebar past two people welding. On an elevated platform, Alex wears a visor and uses an angle grinder on a piece of metal. She spots Nick hurrying past down below.
Hey, you're late, aren't you?
He shoots her an awkward grimace as he tries to keep up with the other bosses. She smiles and pulls down her visor. Now, Alex gingerly walks in red heels along a railroad track. Nick playfully pretends to hit a railway signal jutting out of the ground. He waves at something off in the distance as Alex laughs. They wrap their arms around each other and continue traveling down the tracks together. Thoughts can come undone. Later, our view moves across heaps of rusted metal on a slope to Alex and Nick walking. Steam rises from the piles of debris. In an abandoned train yard, Alex runs a distance ahead of Nick. She briefly stumbles in her heels but remains on her feet as he chases her. In an abandoned building, Nick looks winded as he trudges up a staircase. Sweat beating his face, he reaches the top and smiles. Alex stands by a window, waiting for him.
What's that for?
Just wanted to see how fast you can run.
How'd I do?
Fair.
She pats his back, and they head down a hallway together. Alex ushers him ahead of her and wraps her arms around his neck. He lifts her onto his back and carries her. Later, in a dark room cluttered with broken furniture, Nick stares up at a hole in the ceiling. He glances over his shoulder and spots Alex spinning in a doorway and arching her back in a dance move. She notices him watching her and stops.
Do that again.
What?
He points at her.
The dance stuff you just did.
I can't, I was just fooling around. I'm not a dancer like that.
What do you mean?
I've never studied before. I mean, I read books and stuff and I watch, but I've never taken dance classes. I don't know, there's just all those dancers in one room watching each other and watching you.
But you dance in front of an audience at the club every night.
No, but it's different. I never see them. Go out there, and the music starts, and you begin to feel it. And your body just starts to move.
He approaches her.
I know it sounds really silly, but something inside of you just clicks, and you just take off, and you're gone. It's like you were somebody else for a second.
She gazes downward with a sad expression.
Suddenly, it's like...
tears well in her eyes.
Some nights I just can't wait to get out there just so I can disappear.
As she gazes up at him, Nick rubs a tear rolling down her cheek away with his thumb. She gently touches his hand. Nick rubs away another tear falling from her eye. Alex moves his hand away from her cheek and places it on her chest. A button on her blouse pops open as he slides his hand under her shirt to her breast. She holds his wrist and reaches toward him with her free hand. Nick leans in and kisses her. At Mauby's, Nick sits in the audience and claps with others. On stage, Alex wears white face paint and a glittery fringed cape with large shoulder pads. She points a remote at a glowing television set, and wind emits from it, blowing back her hair and the fringe on her costume. Staring at the TV set, Alex rocks on her stool. She stands, throws her hands in the air, and spins. Her shadow casts on the backdrop of white tiled walls. Alex plays air guitar. She shimmies her shoulders, briefly faces the audience, then turns her back to them. Undoing the belt of her costume, she casts aside the cape, revealing a red business suit underneath. He says that he can read my mind. Holding her hands at hip height, she bounces her shoulders, then bends forward. She spins and drops to one knee, then vamps at the TV. In the audience, Jake approaches Heels, who watches the performance attentively and bobs her head to the music. Jake takes a bite of a burger and shakes his head as he watches Alex, then looks at Heels. On stage, Alex places her foot on the stool and points the remote at the TV. A blue glow emits from it. Alex spins, then drops to her knees before the television. She lifts her hands over her head, then spreads them out to her sides. She stands and removes the blazer and skirt, revealing a white t-shirt and shiny blue leggings underneath. Jeannie serves beer to John and Cecil.
How come you don't go up there and dance? You look like you could dance real good.
I'm practicing.
Yeah? You know how to do the horizontal mambo?
John playfully shoves Cecil.
Hey, Jeannie, I just kid around. I don't need nothing. Keep that.
He hands her cash.
That's $100. I can't take this.
Keep it. It's my way of saying I'm sorry.
Jeannie shrugs and smiles.
Thanks.
John ogles her as she walks away. On stage, a green light emits from the TV. Alex makes mechanical movements as she dances. A strobe light flashes on Jake and Heels. His eyes go wide and he shakes his head. Heels smiles at him, and he gives her an annoyed look. Alex backs into the corner of the backdrop and tears at her t-shirt. She drops to the floor, then gropes at the walls as she gets to her feet. With a panicked expression, Alex continues ripping holes in her shirt, throwing her arms over her head. She slumps to the floor, then gets back up and plays air guitar. The performance ends, and she backs into the corner with a fearful look. Alex drops to the floor, and our view cuts to black. Outside the repertory company, a limousine pulls away from the curb. Well-dressed people mill about. Alex approaches Hannah. Hannah reaches out her hand, and Alex takes it and kisses her cheek. They enter the building. On stage, a male dancer spins a ballerina. Hannah and Alex watch them perform their pas de deux. The ballerina lies bent backward over the male dancer's knee, with one of her legs extended into the air. He runs his hand up her thigh, and she lowers her leg, gently cradling her back. He lifts her toward him and into a kiss. Alex smiles. The house lights come up and the male dancer takes a bow. He steps to the side facing the wings and extends his arm out before him. The ballerina takes his hand and they face the audience. An older gentleman brings the ballerina a bouquet of red roses and she cradles them delicately in her arms. Facing the audience once more, with his partner, the male dancer bows, and she curtsies. Alex puts her arm around Hannah. Outside, Alex walks with Hannah down the front steps.
At the end of every performance, does the lead dancer always get flowers?
Always.
Do you get flowers like that?
Not always.
But once, right? At least once. How's that make you feel?
You will let me know. There's a taxi.
Hannah gets in the cab.
Now, sleep well.
You too.
Alex shuts the door for her. Further down the sidewalk, Nick opens the passenger door of his car for an elegant blonde woman in a fur coat. He wears a tuxedo and shuts the door for her. Alex watches as he gets into the driver's seat and her expression grows angry. In an upscale neighborhood, Alex rides her bike to a nice house. Nick's car sits parked at the curb. Dismounting the bike, Alex lowers the kickstand. As she approaches the car, she scans the ground, then glances back at the house. Alex picks up a rock and jogs up the front path toward the door. She throws the rock at a window.
You son of a bitch!
Gazing at the broken glass, Alex watches lights turn on inside the home. She hurries back over to her bike and raises the kickstand. Alex rides off into the night as more lights come on inside the house. Wearing a shirt dangling off one arm, Nick runs out of the house and pauses on the front lawn. He glances up and down the street but doesn't see Alex. He tugs his tuxedo shirt on with a furious gaze. Arriving home, Alex notices a puddle on the floor. Grunt walks a few paces ahead of her. Alex approaches the puddle and turns on a light.
Is that you or the radiator, Grunt?
Alex kneels.
Oh, shit.
The puddle extends out from beneath the radiator. Later, as Grunt barks at the entryway, Alex angrily scrubs the floor.
Shut up, Grunt!
Hey, it's Richie.
Hi. Stupid radiator broke.
Just wanted to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah, I've got my car all packed. I'm just going to get on the turnpike. That's it. I'm gone.
What about Jeannie?
Look, I love Jeannie, but I just don't have it to give to her right now. She's going to be all right. She'll be fine.
Well, come on, don't go yet. I'll make some coffee. We can sit and talk.
I can't. I mean, what am I going to do here? Cook hamburgers and pretend I'm a comedian?
Richie turns to go.
Well, I'll miss you.
As he pauses to hug Alex, his hat falls to the floor. Richie picks it up.
Forget my hat.
Good luck.
Alex watches him leave with a sad expression. She walks toward the stairs. An aerial view over the alley outside the warehouse shows Richie driving away. Alex gazes out her window and a somber smile plays at the corner of her lips. Daytime, at the steel mill, a vendor stands by her lunch cart. Alex removes her headphones as she approaches.
See a turkey sandwich, diet soda.
Nick hurries over and pays before Alex can.
I've got that, Trudy.
Save your money.
I was buying your lunch.
I don't want you buying me anything. I don't want you buying me, period.
He looks taken aback.
What's the matter?
Well, I've got eyes.
What are you talking about?
I didn't know you were such a ballet fan. I thought you just liked it in private. How quickly they forget. Got the dance benefit, the blonde in the white dress. Who's the goddamn blonde, Nick?
Blonde?
Trudy gives him a quizzical look.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
A pickup truck blocks Nick from catching up to Alex. She fixes him with an icy glare.
What's going on around here? Has everybody gone crazy? Last night, some idiot throws a rock through my window and...
I broke your fucking window! You heard me. I smashed your stupid window.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Maybe.
Cost me $170. I had to special order it.
It's not the goddamn money. Go fuck the blonde, Nick.
She's my ex-wife. We have friends on the Arts Council. I see her once a goddamn year to take her to this stupid benefit. Why am I explaining myself?
Workers watch them argue.
You didn't have to break my window.
I did it because you pissed me off.
Nick shakes his head. Alex prevents him from putting his arm around her, then lightly hits his shoulder. As they walk, she leans her head on his chest. And he puts an arm around her. The workers on their lunch breaks cheer. Now, a moving view follows a couple through an upscale restaurant. Alex and Nick sit across from each other at a table. She wears a tuxedo.
When I was a kid, all I wanted was to be able to afford to eat in restaurants like this.
Were you poor?
Poor. I was so poor I had hand-me-down lunches. It was rough in the old days. I used to steal hubcaps with Johnny C.
Good.
Alex eats a piece of lobster in a seductive manner while staring at Nick. He smiles at her as he chews his food.
How's the lobster?
Keeping her eyes locked on his, she grabs another piece and messily takes a bite.
Sucks.
Alex smiles and he leans back in his chair.
Want some of mine?
She licks her finger.
I'm not hungry, thanks.
Whatever turns you on.
She grabs another piece of lobster.
What turns you on?
Alex licks, then sucks on the bite of shellfish. He looks turned on. A view under the table shows her lifting her foot toward Nick's lap. Alex smiles.
You like phone booths?
Phone booths?
You probably just like doing it in bed, right?
She runs a stringy piece of lobster over her tongue, then presses her foot up against his crotch. A woman touches Nick's shoulder.
You two look cozy.
Alex, this is Katie.
Hello. Mickey's told me all about you.
Hi.
You're not really a welder, are you?
Yes, I really am.
And you really take your clothes off at night?
Well, I don't really take them off.
Oh, I was under the impression you did. You look great, Nikki. I don't know why you didn't look this good when we were married.
It's probably the company I was keeping.
Well, it was good. It was good. It's funny. Has he taken you to the steel mill yet?
That's enough, Katie.
He likes to go there on his first date. It was your first date, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. As a matter of fact...
Alex removes her suit jacket.
I fucked his brains out.
She wears only a dickie over her breasts and shirt cuffs around her wrists.
Obviously you did.
Charmed you.
At home, Alex sits in bed with Nick.
You loved her once, didn't you?
I thought I did in the beginning. She was different from anyone I'd ever gone out with before. She was well-educated, came from a real good family.
She plays with his watch, and he takes it from her.
I'd figured that I'd really made it.
And then one day I realized that I'd just taken the safe route. And when I realized that, somehow it made it easier for me to do what I had to do.
What was that?
Let go. Start over again. Figure out what it was that I wanted to do and go after it.
And you got it, didn't you?
Alex peppers his face with butterfly kisses, then gazes into his eyes.
How did you do it?
Deep breath and jumped.
Daytime. At the repertory company, Alex enters the administration office with a confident expression.
Hello. I'd like to apply for admission to the repertory company.
When you fill out this application, be sure and write down all your years of previous dance training, starting with the last school you attended.
I know that part.
Auditions are by invitation only and are performed before the committee and select members of the repertory company.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The receptionist dons her spectacles as she watches Alex leave. A view from inside a car shows Alex walking up to her bike. She puts the application in her pocket. Sitting in his car, Nick observes her, then looks away. He turns his attention back to her as she leaves. Now, inside the repertory company building, Nick walks up to the administration desk.
Morning.
With an awkward expression, the receptionist tries to finish chewing a large bite of food. She puts her burger down and brings her hand to her mouth as she speaks.
Good morning. May I help you?
Yes. There was a young woman in here a short time ago who was wearing an army jacket.
She was here. I was talking to her about admission to the repertory company.
Now, Nick enters a diner. He puts a coin in a payphone on the wall and dials a number.
Bradley. Nick Hurley.
He mouths the word coffee at someone.
Lara. Hey. Great. Great. Listen, are you still on the Arts Council? I need a favor for a special friend.
At home, Alex peruses the repertory company application. Only the first half of the front page has been filled out. The image transitions to Alex lying on her stomach on the floor of her loft. She wears a pair of worn jeans with a slit beneath one of her butt cheeks. Grunt lies with his head resting on the floor opposite her. The repertory application sits between them as Alex chats with the pit bull. Nighttime. A Halloween party takes place at Mobby's bar. A man wearing a crocodile costume steps inside. On stage, in a kangaroo costume, Jake pokes his head out from behind the curtain. He steps out and starts dancing. He turns around and shakes his butt. Tina and Alex stand by the stage and watch Jake. The short-haired woman points to the man beside her. Tina's date smiles and waves at Alex, who wears a hobo clown costume. Jake pulls heels onto the stage and dances with her. Heel shimmies her shoulders. The man in the crocodile costume shouts.
Trick or treat!
He reveals himself as Richie.
Hey, throw that bum out. I told you they didn't like short people down there.
Richie! Richie!
Alex hugs him and opens the crocodile mouth.
So check out the clubs out there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, come on,
man. Yeah, one of them offered me a job.
Oh, really? That's great.
As a waiter. I said, me a waiter? You gotta be crazy. I can't take a job as any waiter. I'm a cook.
Alex glances over at Jeannie.
Hi, Richie.
He takes off the crocodile head.
Hi, Jeannie.
Richie sheepishly steps up to Jeannie.
I missed you.
All those girls out there?
Oh, come on, there are no girls out there.
That's why you call me every night.
Hey, it's the cook! Or is it the comedian? A nice suit, Richie.
Let's go, Jeannie.
See you later, Richie.
See you around, Izod.
With her arm around his waist, Jeannie leaves with John. Richie looks disappointed. He makes his way across the dance floor, and Alex puts an arm around him. Daytime. Alex opens the front door to the warehouse and leans her bike against the doorway. She bends down and picks up her mail, which lies on the floor. One of the envelopes reads, Pittsburgh Dance and Repertory Company. At the steel mill, Alex wears goggles and a hard hat as she cuts through a metal beam with a torch. She puts down the tool and takes off the goggles. Alex gazes off distantly. She removes her gloves and pulls out the envelope from the repertory company. Turning it over in her hand, she briefly hesitates, then opens the letter. Unfolding the document, her eyes go wide and a broad smile forms on her face.
Ah! Look, you got it!
She rushes over to Nick.
Look, what's going on?
What?
I got the audition. See, look. Sam applied to the repertory company. They have to be invited before you can even audition. They invited me. Isn't that great?
That's wonderful. We're going to have to do something about
when?
This. How about tonight?
Alex playfully covers Nick's face with his hard hat, and he puts an arm around her. Later, she enters Hannah's building.
Hannah!
She enters the living room.
Well, I did it.
I knew you would. Congratulations.
I'm so excited I can't stop shaking. But what if I don't make it?
Hannah looks thoughtful, then nods.
You will, I know you will.
Alex smiles.
Oh, Hannah, what would I do without you?
Nighttime. Alex rides in Nick's car, which drives through a tunnel.
I love the dinner. And I love the way they sat us right away. And I love the way there were 50 people waiting and we just whizzed in.
She embraces Nick and nuzzles his face.
I called the restaurant last night. I told him it was a very special occasion.
Alex's smile fades and she fixes him with a suspicious look.
What do you mean you called him last night? Stop the car.
What?
Stop the goddamn car! Come on, you called him last night, but I didn't tell you I got the audition till this morning. Great! So how the hell did you know, huh?
Alex, listen.
Friends on the committee, huh, Nick? Asshole. Stop the car!
Alex.
Nick slams on the brakes, and a car swerves to avoid a collision with his vehicle. Alex gets out, and he starts to follow her.
All I did was make a phone call, one phone call. I got you the audition. The rest is up to you.
She throws her high heel at him.
The whole thing has to be up to me. I'm not going to this stupid audition.
As she storms away wearing only one shoe, Nick glances back at the car that nearly collided with his. Now, Alex lies in bed and looks deep in thought. She glances over at her phone receiver, which is off the hook. Alex picks up the handset and pushes down the switch hook. Dialing a call, she brings the receiver to her ear.
Good evening, Morby.
Is Jeannie there?
Alex, where the hell have you been all week?
Come on, Jake, I don't want to hear it. Is she there?
Alex, she doesn't work for me anymore. She's over at the Zanzibar.
What?
You heard me.
Alex hangs up. At Zanzibar, strippers dance and strut on the runway. A man slaps a dollar bill on a dancer's bare backside, but it falls off. Patrons leer at a woman who dances on a platform in front of them. Cash rests in the waistband of her thong. Jeannie sits topless on a circular platform, leaning back on her elbows. Men watch as she lazily circles her legs in the air. Elsewhere, a topless woman swings her hips, and a patron sticks money inside her G-string. Entering the club, Alex squeezes through men blocking the doorway. Cecil spots her from a distance and looks flustered. Looking from Jeannie to Alex repeatedly, the slovenly man sneers. Alex makes her way through the crowded mass, and Cecil steps out of view. She spots Jeannie circling her legs in the air and approaches. Hooking her hands under Jeannie's arms, Alex lifts her to her feet. Alex drags Jeannie across the strip club. John grabs Alex.
Alex! Hey, Alex, Jesus Christ! Alex, what the fuck? What are you doing?
She shoves him off, and he falls back onto the runway, nearly colliding with a dancer. As patrons pull him up, the stripper falls down, outside.
You want to make a living rolling around on your back? Yes, so what? I make the money! Look at you! I thought you wanted to be a dancer all that damn year! So what's this shit, huh?
Alex tosses cash into a puddle and Jeannie scrambles to pick it up. Wearing only a trench coat and a G-string, Jeannie stands.
Why did you come here?
Because you're my friend. Jerk.
Putting her arm around Jeannie, Alex walks with her through the rain. They pass many storefronts and our view rises. In the alley outside the warehouse, Nick stands in the rain with Grunt. Alex arrives on her bike and dismounts. She ignores Nick as she unlocks the door.
Did I say hello?
Hello.
I didn't show up at work. I was worried about you.
They go inside.
You look like shit.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome. Listen, I didn't come here to fight. I came here to see if you were okay.
Forget it. Doesn't matter.
What doesn't matter?
The audition. I don't care.
You do care.
I don't care.
You do care. God, you can't be honest with yourself. How the hell are you going to be honest with me?
Now, you listen to me, Nick Curley. I don't need you telling me what to do. And I don't need to hear your shit. I'm not a baby. Get the hell out of here. Play with your fucking porch.
What you need is a kick in the ass.
Stay away from me.
With a cigarette in hand, Alex hurries away from him. As she answers the phone, Nick takes the cigarette from her mouth.
You're not grown up enough to smoke.
She slaps him. She hits him a third time, and her hand smacks a window blind, which retracts.
You know, the truth is, you're scared shitless of going to that place, aren't you?
I am not.
Yes, you are. And you're using me as an excuse not to go.
Get out.
I'm just gonna piss it all away, Alex. But you understand, when you give up your dream, you die.
Alex shifts her gaze downward, then looks up at Nick.
See ya.
He strides out. Daytime, an aerial view shows several bridges situated above the Monongahela River. Alex sits inside a funicular car with her bike parked in front of her. A wide view shows the cars simultaneously descending and ascending the Duquesne incline. Later, Alex rides her bike up a hill, down the middle of a street devoid of traffic. Now, she enters Hannah's building.
Hannah!
Alex peeks inside the living room.
Hannah? Hannah?
She crosses the hallway downstairs. Alex opens the door to Hannah's apartment and looks inside. Finding the living room empty, she goes to the bedroom.
Hannah?
A partially packed suitcase lies on the bed.
She died. Yesterday.
Alex turns to find a woman standing behind her. Looking away from the woman, she steps further into the bedroom. Alex bends down and picks up a pair of ballet shoes from the floor. She turns the worn toe shoes over in her hands and fondles the threadbare laces. Tears fall from Alex's eyes. A roving view shows framed photographs in the room. One reads, Ziegfeld Follies, 1931, Ziegfeld Theater. Other framed black and white pictures show a ballerina, a person in a suit and fedora, and an attractive woman posing for a camera. As Alex cries, she briefly brings the ballet shoes to her brow. Outside the building, two women interact with each other on the sidewalk. Alex emerges with the toe shoes in hand. The two women turn their attention to her as she walks to her bike, then resume their conversation. Not mounting the bike, Alex heads away on foot, wheeling it beside her. The two women cross the street. It's a song that just keeps playing. At home, Alex sits against the wall with a cigarette in her hand. She wears jeans with holes in the knees and a white tank top, which hangs off one of her shoulders. She pulls a piece of thread off her pants, then leans her head back against the wall. Alex takes a drag from the cigarette and gazes off with a grief-stricken expression. Is it fate or is it luck? She bows her head, casting her eyes toward her bare feet. Tucking her bent knees closer to her chest, she wraps her arms around them. Later, Alex walks over to the ballet bar and slides her hand along it. A mirror on the wall shows her reflection. At Mobby's, Alex enters the dressing room. Her middle-aged colleague sits alone at the vanity.
Where you been?
No place.
What are you doing?
Getting my stuff.
What are you getting your stuff for?
As Alex gathers items, the middle-aged dancer observes her in the mirror.
Hey, you know, if it's all that bad, why don't you just go slit your wrists and get it over with? I thought nothing ever got you down.
Alex takes clothes from a rack. The middle-aged dancer wears a reflective smile.
You know, when I started out, I was 17. I used to work in these old movie theaters. Every cent I had, I spent on costumes. I had more fancy costumes and dresses than you do. Boy, when I went on that stage, I was looking so good.
The middle-aged dancer eyes her image in the vanity mirror, and her smile fades.
One day, I just stopped buying them. I don't even know what happened.
Holding armfuls of clothes, Alex gazes at her.
I thought about it a lot. I just can't seem to pin it down. The dresses got old, and I just stopped wearing them. Hey, you know, I got some in a trunk I'll show you sometime.
Okay.
The middle-aged dancer smiles with tears in her eyes.
What the hell?
She gets up and heads for the door, then turns to Alex.
It's showtime.
The middle-aged dancer steps out into the hall. Alex winces and fights back tears. Now the confessional booth's partition window opens, revealing Alex weeping.
May the Lord be in your heart and in your mind that you may properly confess your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a long time since my last confession. I want so much.
She bows her head as she sobs.
Oh,
At the repertory company, Alex sits in a chair in a hallway and ties the laces on her black dance shoes. She wears a black tank top and high-cut bikini bottoms and leg warmers. Grabbing her duffel bag from the back of the chair, Alex enters an audition room. She freezes in her tracks as she notices five judges seated at individual tables. One of the judges is the receptionist who gave her the application. Alex shuts the door. A low view follows her feet as she crosses the room. Alex pulls a record from her bag. A roving view pans across the judges' faces. A bearded man at the end blows his nose. The receptionist glances at him. Alex places a turntable's needle onto the record. Taking a deep breath, she makes her way to the center of the room. A bespectacled judge pulls out his cigar and watches her. On her knees, Alex lifts her hands over her head, lunges into the splits, then spins on her backside and tucks her knees into her chest. She rolls on her stomach, onto her knees again, and stands. Attempting a pirouette, she stumbles. The bespectacled judge removes his glasses. Rocking back to sit on one knee, Alex bows her head. She stands.
Can I start again?
The bespectacled judge puts his glasses back on. Alex restarts the record. Sitting on her knees, she lies bent forward with her head resting on the floor and her arms spread out at her sides. She lifts her hands over her head, lunges into the splits, then spins on her backside and tucks her knees into her chest. She rolls on her stomach onto her knees and stands, then does a pirouette, this time without stumbling. She spins down to the floor, back into a position similar to her starting pose, then stands. Alex leaps in the air, then kicks up her foot before crouching down with her arms spread out. She spins and crouches down again. As she rises, she turns once more, then holds her arms out and pirouettes. A bored-looking woman glances up from a paper she doodles on. The receptionist looks intrigued. Alex spins, extends her arm, then turns and extends her arm again. Arching her back, she begins to dance in a more lively manner. Alex skips in a circle around the room. She leaps in the air, skips forward, then performs several consecutive pirouettes. Looking more captivated, the previously bored-looking woman lights a cigarette. The bespectacled judge adjusts his glasses, and the receptionist perks up. In quick succession, Alex does a split, rotates her body, then stands and spins several times. She points at each of the judges as she dances across the room. One judge taps his foot. The bearded judge bobs his head while blowing his nose. Alex pumps her arms as she skips backward. Doing another pirouette, she spins rapidly with one of her legs bent close to her body. Alex leaps and spins, then drops into a seated position. She kicks her leg high, extends her body, then holds her arm out and bends her knee. Alex runs across the room, then makes a giant leap. Slow motion glimpses from different angles follow her trajectory. She somersaults as she lands, then does a front flip. Alex windmills, then spins on her back. The bespectacled judge gapes as she breakdances. The receptionist applauds. Alex skips backward, then does another series of rapid pirouettes. Later, dressed in a red jacket and a pair of jeans, she runs out of the building with an elated expression. Nick sits on the hood of his car with roses in his hand. He crouches beside Grunt, who wears a red bow around his neck. Nick grabs Grunt's paw, making the pit bull wave to Alex. He holds the flowers behind his back and stands, and Alex jumps into his arms. They kiss lovingly as he spins her. Setting her down, Nick offers her the flowers. She takes them, pulls out one rose, and gives it to him. The image freezes. fade to black. Credits roll. Copyright 1983 by Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. Persons and events in this film are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. A logo appears. Paramount, a Gulf and Western company.